Welcome to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and a producer of quality fertilizer products. Grow the future with Yara.
Hello again and welcome. Welcome too to our new contributor. He's Chris Harold, recently appointed product manager for Yara Vita across Britain and Ireland. We'll consider the Yara Vita range, which supplies nutrients or micronutrients in liquid form, in a minute. But first to Chris himself. Welcome, Chris. Can you tell us about Chris Harold?
Hello, Ken. I joined Yara back in November, so just over 3 months ago. And prior to that, I had been a full-time agronomist here in East Yorkshire for the last sort of 10 or 11 years, and looking after farmers on a range of soil types, giving them advice about their crops, not just obviously crop protection, but crop nutrition as well, and advice on stewardship schemes, etc. Prior to that, I'd done my sort of first half of my career had been more in practical farming, so working on farms and also farm management as well after I'd left university.
So very much a hands-on guy.
Yes, you could say that.
Well, let's come back to our subject. I think farmers across the UK and Ireland have had enough of liquid this winter. But ironically, you believe that after all the floods and waterlogging, there is an important role for liquid nutrients to play.
Yes, that's right, Ken. I mean, clearly it's been a dreadful autumn and winter period for a lot of farmers with the excess rainfall that they've had to endure. And clearly the crops have struggled or suffered in that situation. And what happens in those cases, the root structure struggles to extend through the soil profile due to that waterlogging, and trying to get crops to uptake their nutrients when their root structures have been compromised is difficult. So foliar nutrients do have a place to play in those situations by sort of bypassing the roots and directly applying those nutrients through the leaf.
And of course, soil temperatures at the moment seem to be higher than we've been used to at this time of year.
Yes, I would say they have been. Certainly where I've had opportunity to put a soil thermometer into the ground, they are just above the norm for this time of year. And I guess that's probably no surprise that the winter's been obviously very wet, but at the same time, it seems to have been relatively mild. We don't seem to have had a lot of harsh winter weather this year.
And the with the compromised root structure, I suppose, if we do have the alternative to water logging, which is drought, we really can't afford that. We need, part of the idea now is to get the root structure back if you can.
That's right. I mean, we can't predict what's going to happen with the weather in the spring and early summer, but you'd have to think that the weather will change. And these days, the weather seems to change from one extreme to the other. So if the weather does turn very dry in the coming weeks and months, that compromised root structure will struggle to take up the nutrients and also the water it requires if that root structure is being compromised. So again, anything we can do now to try and promote rooting will hopefully put the crop into a much better position going into the spring.
I mean, we're talking here about resilience, I suppose, and I've read reports that about increased weed pressure is going to be brought about by all this disruption. I suppose that's competition stressed crops don't need.
That's right. I think due to the issues around field travelling ability last autumn, a lot of the planned weed control strategies that farmers and agronomists had got in place just didn't get carried out. For obvious reasons, and so there's a lot of work to do this spring. And where herbicides weren't applied in the autumn, then those weed issues are going to need dealing with now. And as soon as we put some nitrogen onto those crops, the weeds will start to grow as well. And we need to get the weeds controlled and take that burden away from the crop at the same time. So if we can get the crop itself a little bit more resilient before we start putting those hefty herbicide mixtures on, then that can only be a good thing.
So if farmers are deciding which crops are worth investing in, what would be your advice to farmers on strategy?
Well, I think this year more than ever, Ken, the approach should be a field by field basis. I don't think, not that it ever is the right thing to do, but sort of blanket treatments aren't going to be the way forward this year for sure. And hopefully, we'll have that opportunity over the next few weeks to really make that decision about which crops are going to make it through to harvest and going to be worth investing in. And it might mean going out there with a spade and having a dig, see what the root structures actually look like under some of these crops, because they are starting to grow now, as we just mentioned a minute ago. Soil temperatures are there and day length's now increasing, so we really need to get a handle on the state of these crops before we start putting a lot of investment into them.
Let's look at the autumn drill crops then. I suppose wheat's a good starting point. Or do wheat and barley get the same treatment this early on?
I think it's a field by field approach, Ken, but the issue around winter barley crops is they just don't have that ability to compensate for loss of tillers like winter wheat can do. So I think probably barley does want a slightly different approach, probably a higher dose of nitrogen early to try and retain those tillers and drive that crop on. Winter wheat, as I say, probably has a little bit more scope for compensating for lost tillers, and a slightly different approach could probably be taken with that. But make sure we get the basics right. Foliar nutrients have a place, but they won't replace or replace issues around pH, for example. And clearly, the nitrogen and sulfur that's required, you can only really do that through bigger doses of liquid or solid fertilizers.
So it's get your soils right, get your soils basically right, and then you can move on. Any recommendations regarding which products?
Yes, I mean, we have some crop specific products in the Yara Vita range, and the one that we'd be recommending for cereal crops like winter wheat, winter barley would be Gramitrel. Gramitrel's a multi-nutrient formulated product specifically for cereal crops. It contains copper, manganese, and zinc, a little bit of nitrogen, and some magnesium as well. So a fully formulated product to apply all those key micronutrients that cereal crops will require early on in the spring.
So moving on then, oilseed rape, a dirty word for some, but where it can be grown, it's still a useful part of the rotation. What's your thinking there?
Yes, oilseed rape has had its challenges as a crop, and I guess it will continue to do so. But it is a key crop for farmers' rotations. It's a key break crop for those farmers with other combinable crops. And I was out in some oilseed rape just the other day, and it is starting to grow away. As I said, the soil temperatures and the day length have been driving that, and will be requiring doses of nitrogen and sulfur if it hasn't already had some. And again, we know that as the oilseed rape goes into that rapid stem extension stage, there is a demand for some of the key micronutrients. I'm thinking boron, molybdenum, and also magnesium. And with all the rainfall we've had, boron is particularly leachable through the soil, so it's likely that boron will be needed. Along with those other nutrients. And we have again, a bit like the product we talked about for the cereals, we have a crop specific option in oilseed rape in Brassitrel Pro. It contains boron, molybdenum, magnesium, as well as some manganese, nitrogen, and a bit of calcium as well. So again, a fully formulated crop specific option for oilseed rape. And we've seen some really good results with that over many years of trials. 3 liters applied a hectare at stem extension stage, so sort of from now onwards, giving over a quarter of a ton to the hectare yield increase. So some useful yield increases for not that much of an investment.
As a general point, you mentioned leaching there. I mean, given the present soil conditions and what we've gone through, sometimes the liquid option at this time of year, or maybe slightly later on, is going to prove valuable because there's less wastage on that point of view, and it does get directly to the crop, providing there's enough leaf, I suppose, to take up the product.
That's right. Yes, you're targeting the crop itself rather than the soil. And if there is enough crop there to hit with the application, then it's a good way of getting those nutrients into the crop. And the readily tank mixable, the two products that we've just talked about, and clearly we don't expect farmers would be going through a crop just with a foliar nutrient. They're usually tank mixed with something else, whether that's a herbicide or a fungicide or a growth regulator, for example.
And in the case of oilseed rape, you need to get leaf growth getting decent anyway for all kinds of reasons.
That's right. Yes. I mean, the pigeons seem to be around. They don't seem to ever leave the crop alone, do they? So anything we can do to promote green, healthy leaf tissue is beneficial.
So if farmers or agronomists want to look at this in more detail, Chris, they can go to the website, because you've hosted a few webinars recently and you've got more in line.
That's right. Yes, the website has a host of information on there, and the apps that we have as well are useful sources of information as well. And yes, we have had a few webinars earlier on this month, and we've got another one towards the end of the month as well.
So you'd recommend folk plug into those and certainly take part in them and ask the questions they want to ask, rather than just expecting others to do it.
That's right. Yes, we always have a question and answer session in those webinars, and we always try and get back to everybody to answer those questions. And there's always a few CPD points available for those webinars as well, Ken.
Well, we've covered quite a lot here, Chris. What are your key points or keep in mind messages from this podcast?
I think it's been a challenging season so far, obviously. And as I mentioned earlier on, it'll be a sort of field by field approach, I feel, this year. And don't take anything for granted. Do get out there and have a look at these crops. Take a spade out there, see what's happening underground. And hopefully that'll help guide what decisions you can make to really push your crops through till harvest. And there's always that option to do some leaf tissue testing as well, Ken, just to sort of sense check where you are with the crop in the field at a particular point in time. It can always help make those decisions about those foliar nutrient applications.
Timely advice there from Chris Harold, Product Manager for Yara Visa. And we'll be hearing more from Chris as the season progresses, which will include other field crops. Don't forget the webinars. And if you want more detail, go to the website. I'm Ken Rundle, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with another Grow the Future podcast. Join me then.
Thanks for listening to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. For more information, visit yara.co.uk or yara.ie.